Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come into thy assembly this afternoon, Lord, asking thee that thou wouldst grant unto us that we would be diligent in our ways, that we would serve thee well, that we would do what thou wouldst have us to do, that we would not be, Lord, slothful, Father, or neglectful of the responsibilities that have been entrusted unto us. Father, we pray thee that we would be alert to thy word. We pray thee that we would be focused upon thee. Father, we pray thee that thou wouldst receive the honor and the glory, Father, for thou alone art worthy. Lord, help us to redeem this time. Help us to use it wisely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon, let's turn and read together from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 19, and begin reading with verse number 23.
Nađena je Evanđelje iz dela apostola, 19. glava, početak od 23. broj. Dela apostola, 19. glava, 23. broj.
In the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with a hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not what the city, how the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet, and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. As was often the case in the Apostle Paul's life, there was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of things going on in his walk with the Lord, and a lot of difficult situations that he was found in, and that was even told by Jesus Christ when Jesus spoke to Ananias when the Apostle Paul first converted, and the Lord Jesus Christ told Ananias, saying, I will show the Apostle Paul what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so it was here that the Apostle Paul was in this situation where there was an uproar in this city of Ephesus, and it was a result of the preaching that he had had. And so it was that here the Apostle Paul is on his third missionary journey, and he's speaking here to the Ephesians. He spent some time here, and he's preaching to them. And the Bible speaks here that the word of the Lord went out throughout all Asia, to both the Jews and to the Greeks. So the word was not hampered, and the word went forth. The word went forth in power and in truth, and many people were hearing it, and they had, there was a lot of lives being changed. There were those who had once been bewitched by sorcery, and now they had taken their books, 50, quite a bit of value of books that were once part of that sorcery, and they had burned them, and a great transformation was happening. And yet, this transformation was happening here, but it was so that this Demetrius had brought about an uproar, a mob that would overtake the city, and everyone was getting involved, and there was this uproar. And the Bible says here that there was no small stir. It was no small stir. It was a big uproar. And here it was that the Apostle Paul didn't need to get involved. Those that were with him didn't need to get involved. God was going to take care of that. God was going to take care of that. They had done their part. They had spoken the word. And souls were saved. They had done their part, but they didn't need to get involved in this mob that was taking place, this riot, if you will. And so the Bible teaches us in many places that there's no need for us as believers of God to get involved in these riots or these mobs that take place. In Psalm 37, verse number 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, such as Demetrius the silversmith. Fret not thyself because of them. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And so if we consider this, what had transpired here, through this vision, through this truth, that we should cease from anger, we should forsake wrath, and we should fret ourselves in any, we should not fret ourselves in any wise to do evil. We are to stay away from that which is evil. And what Demetrius had roused up here was evil. It was not from the Lord, certainly, most certainly. And so the Bible here is speaking and saying that this at this time there arose no small stir about this way, about the way of the gospel, about the what had happened here and all these things that had transpired. There was 50,000 pieces of silver worth of books that were burned. There were those that were turning to the Lord. There were those that were being healed from the handkerchiefs that came from the Apostle Paul. There were great things happen, and this it was about this way, the way, that way, of the gospel, the way of Jesus Christ. And so there was no small stir brought up about the gospel. "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen." And that's the key here. This is the key here. And it was about their wealth building. They were concerned about that. Their ability to bring out or to make these trinkets out of silver as part of Diana, the worship of the goddess Diana, it brought no small gain to him and his craftsmen. So he calls together the workmen of the same job, and he says, "Sir, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth." That's his opening line. Here's Demetrius. He wants to make this a stir. And he opens up and he tells them, "Hey, you know that by this craft, we have our wealth. That got their attention. Now they're going to listen to what Demetrius has to say. And so he says, "Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." And so he's turning it now to saying that we have our wealth, and it's this wealth that because of the goddess Diana, and there's this Paul that's trying to stamp out our ability to make our wealth. But he says here that almost throughout all Asia, but in fact it was through all Asia, because if we look back at verse number 10, it says that this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All they that dwelt in Asia. So it was all people. Demetrius here was saying that it was almost throughout all Asia. But this Paul had persuaded and turned much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. And so it was that he had said this when he was in Athens, and there were those that were worshiping to the unknown God. And the Apostle Paul here brings out, well, I'll tell you who this unknown God is. And he speaks of the one true God, and he says to them in part, saying, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God," we are his creation, created in his image, we are the offspring of God, "we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's device." It's not that God is a God who is based on a trinket. No, he is the one and true living God. And so Demetrius is telling his fellow craftsmen, Paul's going throughout all Asia, and he's teaching that there are no gods that are made with hands. And so he's saying, so not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, in parentheses, our wealth, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath. Full of wrath. This is what their response was to what Demetrius said. They were full of wrath. In the beginning of the chapter, there were 12 that were come to know the gospel, and then the Apostle Paul had delivered to them the true gospel, and they were. He laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were filled with the Spirit. But here, these men, they were filled with wrath. Filled with wrath. Why? Because their wealth was being challenged. Their wealth was being challenged. It's going to be no different today. The persecution against Christians is really going to come when corporations' wealth is going to be challenged by ideology of Christians. So they cried out, these craftsmen, they're crying out saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They were full of wrath, and they stirred up the whole city. Demetrius started it, he worked through his craftsmen, and they got the whole city filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. The city's in an uproar. They're in a confusion. They don't know really exactly why it is that there's this uproar. What's this all about? Something about Diana, we know, and there's this challenge to the authority of this goddess, Diana. But they were in a confusion, and they found two men that they could blame, and so they brought them into the theater and made their scene there. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. And so it was the disciples of Paul and these chief men of Asia. who we don't know if they were chief men politically or if they were chief men religiously, but they were chief men, and they persuaded Paul not to adventure himself into the theater. Don't go in there. Don't be a part of that. You did your part. You shared the gospel, but don't be a part of that. There's a proverb that says that a man passing by and meddles in strife not belonging to him is like unto one that would grab a dog by the ears. The result would not be good. And so it is that Paul was dissuaded from engaging in something that he didn't need to engage in. God was in control here. God was in control. The Apostle Paul didn't need to engage himself in that, and his disciples wisely and the chief of Asia wisely dissuaded him to be engaged. And so some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Here it was. There's this mob. There's this riot going on. They don't even know what it's about. They were perhaps just happy to be engaged in some activity that would excite them. They were in confusion, the Bible here says. And most of them didn't even know, what's this all about? But they were part of this. And so the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. And so God was not in this, and neither did he intend that the men of God would engage in this activity as well. So the Bible says that there was a time when Elijah was thinking that he was alone. He thought he was alone. He thought that there was none that served God. He was left and to be the only one. But there was a time then, right after that, that there was a wind that came. The wind was so strong that it blew rocks over and the rocks rent. They break in pieces. That's how strong that wind was. But the Bible says God was not in the wind. And then after that, there was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. After that, there was a fire, a destructive fire. God wasn't in the fire. And then after that, a still, small voice. That's where God dwells. God is the God of not the God of confusion, but he's a God of peace. And he speaks in a still, small voice. In a riotous environment, God is not there. The believer does not need to engage himself in a riotous environment. We live in a society that's becoming more and more polarized. There's the left and there's the right. We don't need to engage ourselves in riots that possibly, very likely, could come in the 2020 election. There are times when people are very, very passionate about their sports team, and there could be riots about that. We don't need to get involved in that. God is not there. God is not there. God speaks in a delicate voice, a still, small voice. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. So there was these two, the travel companions of the Apostle Paul, that they drew into the theater. And Paul would have gone in himself, but his disciples and the chief of Asia suffered him not to. And now there's this Alexander, and the Jews are saying, okay, we'll let Alexander be our spokesman. And the Jews put him forward, and he was to be their spokesman, and he beckons with a hand, and he's ready to make a speech. And as he's getting ready to make a speech, it says that the whole multitude cried out by the space of 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They didn't even allow Alexander to speak. They went into a frenzy, they became fanatical, and they go on for 2 hours repetitiously saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And then after that it says that there was this town clerk, and he appeased the people, a Gentile, not one that was a believer, but he was the one that was able to appease the people. And he says to them, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Everyone knows that. He's coming to their side, and he's saying, "Look, we know what you're saying. This is truth. Okay, Diana is this great. We all worship her, and this image that comes down from Jupiter." So he's appeasing them. He's getting to their level, and he's talking to them. And so he's saying, "Seeing that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another." And so he's saying, if there's a conflict, there's a court system, and work through the court system. But we cannot be into this uproar. We cannot have this large stir, or this concourse, as the towns clerk calls it. He's saying we cannot have this. We cannot have this. And then when he speaks, he dismissed the assembly. He dismissed the assembly. He was able to do it. It wasn't that the two were travel companions to Paul were able to appease the crowd and dismiss the assembly in a lawful way. These two companions didn't do it. Alexander the Jew didn't do it. And the Apostle Paul didn't even have an opportunity to. But it was God that used the town's clerk to do this. God is in control. And that's what we have to remember at all times, that God is in control. When there are riots, when there are things that are going on, chaos, and we think that it's a bad situation, let's remember that God's in control, and let's give it to the Lord. But that does not mean that we cannot but speak the gospel, because the Apostle Paul had spoken the gospel, and he brought the truth to them. And when there was a dispute among the Jews, the non-believing Jews, Paul simply removed himself and went into a school of one Tyrannus. But the gospel does go forth. That doesn't mean that since we don't get involved in riotous activity, that we can simply just sit back and be comfortable. No, the word still has to go forth. The word still has to go forth. The psalmist wrote some familiar verses to us. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord." The psalmist is saying, come, let's look at this. This is the work of the Lord, and what desolations he had made in the earth. Look at what God has done. Look at what desolations he can do. He maketh wars to cease until the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. These are the works of the Lord. This is what God does, not man. Not man. When we let the word of God go forth in power, God will take control. God will do his thing. God is in control. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. And then it continues on, and he says, "And be still and know that I am God." We don't have to get worked up. "Fret not thyself in any wise to do any evil. Forsake wrath, cease from anger." Don't go there. Don't be a part of that riot. Don't be a part of that activity. Be still and know that I am God. And we're very familiar with that passage. Very familiar with that passage. But that verse doesn't end there. God continues and he says, "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." God will take care of that. They thought that somehow by their chanting and their screaming of that great is Diana of the Ephesians for 2 hours, that somehow that was going to be make Diana to be greater than the Lord. Certainly not. And we know that to be true. But God is saying here, "Be still and know that I am God." Cease from anger. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's what Jesus says. And so Jesus, or the Lord says, and so the Lord wants us to live for him, to do what he would have us to do, to glorify his name, to speak forth his message. And the message will fall upon hearts that will receive it, and the message will fall upon hearts that will not receive it. Ours is to bring forth the word. The results belong to God. But we are to do what he would have us to do and offer that offer of righteousness to him. Demetrius had a thing going. He had a pretty good business going. And he was making a lot of money. And he was using this silver, making these trinkets that people would buy and use in the worship of the great of the goddess Diana, who they called great. That's the way that they were using silver. But we read in Malachi how we might be used of God in a manner that's similar to that. That would be an offering in righteousness. So in Malachi we read, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." That's what God is. He's as a refiner's fire. A fire that burns, a fire that would purge away impurities. And so he says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Silver, not a trinket that would just look good, created by man's hand. But this refiner, Jesus Christ, and through his word, he shall sit as this refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. This is what God wants us to do. To live his word, to do what he would have us to do. Not simply to speak it, not simply to put the Bible on a pedestal, but to live it and to be refined by him. And in that refining process, we become an offering of righteousness to the Lord. This is what God wants for us. He wants to refine us. He wants to make us to be in his image. It's been said that a refiner was asked, "How do you know when the silver has reached a level of purity that is sufficient?" And the refiner said, "When I know that the silver is sufficiently purified and sufficiently refined, when I can see my image in the silver." And that's what God wants us to be as one that are purified and refined, that God can see his image in us. God wants us to be used by him. God wants us to glorify his name. God wants us to do that in peace. Amen.